This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والجنة للموحدين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والصلاة والسلام الأكملان الأتمان على الركن الأعظم أفضل من تقدم ومن تأخر وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون صدق الله العظيم Subhanallah, once again, Allah enables us, affords us this amazing opportunity with the presence and the ushering of yet another sacred month of Ramadan to connect on this platform, my respected brother, sister, listener, viewer, on the note of trying to better understand the Quran. And each year we endeavor to explore a different chapter. And alhamdulillah, the feedback is overwhelming, is positive. And the aim, of course, is to create that bond, relationship, and rapport with the Qur'an. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ By virtue of the Qur'an, Allah will elevate many people. And likewise, because of the Qur'an, Allah will drop in esteem many people. Those who will honor, revere, and follow the Qur'an, they will become honored, respected, and of course it will change their direction of life. It will change the entire focus. So this year round, with the grace of Allah, we will be doing chapter 23, Surah Mu'minun. So just a quick reflection, we have a chapter, Surah Mu'min, that's chapter 40, in the 24th juz of the Qur'an. This is Surah Mu'minun. Both meaning believer, one in a plural form, as in chapter 23, and Surah Mu'min in a singular form. In that particular chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a particular believer, رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنْ مِنْ أَهْلِ فِرْعَوْنَ from the tribe and the people of Pharaoh, يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ who was concealing his faith. And then of course he came out and he told the people, you know what, accept Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said to them, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ مِنْ قَبْلُ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَمَا زِلْتُمْ فِي شَكٍّ مِمَّا جَاءَكُمْ بِهِ That previously Yusuf alayhi salam came and you were not convinced, some of you doubted the veracity of his message, etc. حَتَّى إِذَا هَلَكَ But when he passed on, قُلْتُمْ You said, لَن يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ رَسُولًا The world will not see another Yusuf. And today you have the presence of Musa alayhi salam. Let it not be that you lose him and then you regret and lament. The Arabic proverb, النِّعْمَةُ إِذَا فُقِدَتْ عُرِفَتْ That sadly, when we lose someone or a bounty, that's when we appreciate it. So that is Surah Mu'min, chapter 40. This is Surah Mu'minun in its plural form, chapter 23, Juz 18. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks here about the believers. The chapter comprises of 118 verses, but as we move along, you would realize some of the verses are very, very short. And six ruku, six sections, if we were to say so. That being said, inshallah, we commence. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ تَحْقِيق Basic Arabic, you would know when قَدْ comes on a ماضي, it denotes certainty, absolute conviction. Indeed, with certainty, the believers have attained success. So let's just look at the chapter that precedes it. Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 77. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَافْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا Bow, prostrate, and perform virtue, hopefully, so that you can be successful. So in the previous chapter, in the concluding verses, the believer was told to pray, to perform, to do righteous actions, and hopefully you will attain success. And then the opening verse of chapter 23, Allah says, indeed, the believers are successful. And as I mentioned, the chapter comprises of 118 verses. And on the second last verse of this chapter, 117, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contrasts this. So the believers are successful. And what does Allah say? إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. And as for the disbelievers, they will not be successful. So what is the definition of success? Let's unpack that for a moment. Outwardly, apparently, the human common average definition would be secure, procure, every goodness, every benefit, every privilege, and to be safeguarded against distress, sadness, depression, anxiety, tragedy, affliction, etc. So in that sense and in that form, no human can enjoy success in this world to that optimum level where you have been protected totally and safeguarded completely against all trials and difficulties, because it's against the grain of this world. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. In Surah Balad, Allah says, we have created man in constant struggle. The Arabic poet said, عِشْ فِي الدُّنْيَا مُوسِرًا إِنْ شِئْتَ أَوْ مُعْسِرًا لَبُدَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْغَمِّ دُنْيَاكَ بِالْأَحْزَانِ مَقْرُونَ لَا تَقْطَعِ الدُّنْيَا بِلَا هَمِّ. Whether you live as a pauper or as a affluent person, difficulties are inevitable. It's real. It's there. You simply cannot escape it. So success, hence the scholars translate, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the believers are successful, meaning in the year after. That is the ultimate place. So the entry level of bliss that the dwellers of Jannah will enjoy, may Allah make us from amongst them, would be greater than what this world can offer in its entirety. Alhamdulillahi alladhi adhhaba 'anna al-hazan inna rabbana laghafurun shakur. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has removed grief from us, who has removed grief from us and sorrow from us. In this world, even if everything is kind of secured and covered, there are lurking fears. This could happen, that might happen. There's an uncertainty, it's precarious, it's indefinite. There's so many things that would just leave you holding your breath. And that itself would snatch away that sense of joy and happiness. However, the Quran does tell you that if you live a life compliant to the orders of Allah, then Allah promised you hayatan tayyibah. And hayatan tayyibah means a wholesome life. And a wholesome life, in essence, as defined by the scholars, is that Allah will give you peace in your situation. So you might be going through difficulties, but you will be at peace. I often say, and in the month of Ramadan, we could relate to it on a greater level. You would find that a person observing the fast, his lips are parched, his throat is dry, his body might be physically weak because he's going through a long fast, etc. And may Allah accept from all. So there might be hunger and thirst, but you will not find this person depressed and frustrated. Because compliance and obedience, it might have its challenges, and surely it does, and upon that is the reward. But it doesn't take a person into a state of depression. Yet on the other side of things, a person could be living a life of absolute indulgence. Hatta idha farihu bima utu. Right? You absolutely mollycoddled and pampered and living an opulent life. But you're depressed. You're miserable. You're frustrated. There's a sense of void and emptiness in your life. May Allah save us. So yes, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافَ وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَى. Successful indeed is the one who brought iman, who was blessed with basic amount of provisions, and Allah blessed him with contentment. يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. In chapter 29, Surah An-Kabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He can punish whomsoever He wishes and have mercy on whomsoever He wishes. And then the scholars explore different interpretations of that infliction that Allah could unleash on someone, or someone who could become a beneficiary of the mercy of Allah.
And in Madarik al-Tanzil, Allama Nasafi gives one option, يُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِالْحِرْسِ, that Allah can inflict punishment upon a person by inflicting him with the malady of greed. He's greedy, so he's restless, he's uneasy. وَيَرْحَمُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and Allah has mercy on whomsoever He wishes by blessing him with contentment. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers have attained success. And of course, that's in Akhirah, that as the Quran declares, that خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ, those who would be blessed and fortunate, they would be in paradise with eternity. May Allah make us from amongst them. InshaAllah, Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We move on to the next verse. And in that, Allah now describes and enumerates what are the qualities of the believers. So it's mentioned in the Tafasir, when this chapter was revealed, the first few verses, and of course the chapter is Makkiya, meaning revealed prior to Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ made the famous dua, Allahumma zidna wa la tanqusna, wa a'tina wa la tahrimna. That, O Allah, increase us in the bounties that you have given us, and do not decrease it, and favor us, wa a'tina wa la tahrimna, and do not deprive us. وَآثِرْنَا وَلَا تُؤْثِرْ عَلَيْنَا وَأَكْرِمْنَا وَلَا تُهِنَّا, honor us and do not humiliate us, and give us prominence and give us authority over our foe, enemy and adversary. So the second verse out of the 118 verses of chapter 23, Allah describes the believers. The first thing, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those who are humble in their prayer. So what does khashi'un mean? We've got the first verse that speaks about success, and then the second verse speaks about salah. I'm just having a flash of one of the couplets and the stanzas of Allama Iqbal, the poet of the East. He says, log doond te reh gaye kamyabi ko, log doond te reh gaye kamyabi ko, muadhin sari umar kehta raha hayya alal falah. People spend their lives in the quest of success, while the muadhin continued shouting, crying, screaming out, saying, come towards success. So a person, toils and labors and endeavors and travels the world in the quest of success, right? And yet again, on that note, there's another stanza in the Urdu language of the poet Ghalib. He says, Be libas ayate is dunya mein ghalib, بے لباس آئے تھے اس دنیا میں غالب, ایک کفن کے لیے اتنا سفر کر گئے. Wow, my word. Oh man, you came in this world nude, and you will stand up on the day of Qiyamah nude. إِنَّكُمْ مَحْشُورُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا غُرْلًا. The hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you will stand up nude, bare feet, uncircumcised. كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً, as you were created and dispatched. So you came in this world with nothing, and in the end you left with two pieces of cloth. Did you traverse the world so much purely for two pieces of cloth? May Allah give us the ability to prepare for the day of Qiyamah and to prepare for our death. So who are the believers? Those that are humble in their prayer. What is meant by khashi'un? Khushu, we commonly use that expression and that term. So the scholars say that it refers to خَائِفُونَ مِنَ الْقُلُوبِ, they fear Allah by their heart, and the sukoon of their jawarih, their limbs and their organs are motionless. لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُ هَذَا لَخَشَعَتْ جَوَارِحُهُ, if the heart is focused and aligned, then the body would not be indulging in futile actions, where your hand is moving around and you are doing actions that are not part of salah. We do know that the jurists tell us amal kathir actually invalidates your prayer. So what is amal kathir? There's different definitions or interpretations to it. It basically means an excessive action. Excessive action. That's what it means literally. But as expounded by the jurists, that if you indulge in anything during your prayer, that an onlooker would assume that this person is not in prayer, then that would invalidate your prayer. So if you're doing something with two hands, in other words, you're not focused, you're not having a posture, your gaze is not aligned to the place of prayer, and both your hands are, doing things that are alien and foreign to prayer, or anything for that matter, amal kathir, an excessive action contrary to prayer, that an onlooker would say this man is not in prayer, that would invalidate your prayer. So the second verse, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those that are humble in their prayer. It means in Bayanul Quran that you would not consciously bring the thoughts of ghayrullah in your heart, of things material, mundane, transitory, worldly in your heart. Of course, things could cross your heart and mind, but you consciously would not allow your thoughts to stray in that direction. And it's sad to see that sometimes how haphazard people would be in their prayer. I often say that if you have the bad habit of praying haphazardly, quickly, swiftly, then the chances are, even if you're not in a hurry, you would still offer your prayer quickly. I'm not saying that if you are in a hurry, you should do so. Yes, the jurors have given us concession that when you are traveling, then you do not have to abide to the Tiwali Mufassal, you know, in Fajr and Dhuhr, or Awsat Mufassal in your Asr and Isha, or Qisar. Qisar people would on journey, meaning the short. So the jurors have given us the different, that in these two prayers, you would read the more lengthy portions of the Quran, and then the moderate or the short. But if you're on journey, even if it is Fajr time, you could read a short. That is the concession, that is the beauty of Islam. And huwa jitabakum wa ma ja'ala alaykum fi ddini min haraj, right? That in Islam, it's not complicated. But when you have the time and you have the ease and you are stationary and you're just getting your salah done quickly, and after that you're just standing outside the masjid milling around and talking, whereas that time could be devoted to prayer. So the second quality, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, may Allah make us amongst those who are humble and focused in their prayer. The third quality and the third verse, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ, and those who turn away from futility. مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي, part of the beauty of a person's faith is that he abstains from things that do not benefit him. Muhammad bin Suqa, أحد علماء الكوفة وعبادها, he was one of the great scholars of Kufa. He said, we went to visit Ata bin Abi Rabah, who was the great African scholar and who was the distinguished teacher and mentor and ustad of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So he said that Ata bin Abi Rabah gave me the following advice. He said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ مَضَوْا قَبْلَنَا كَانُوا يَكْرَهُونَ فُضُولَ الْكَلَامِ, our pious predecessors, if there was something unique and common amongst them all, they stayed away from futile things. They stayed away from things that were, of no benefit, of no benefit. كَانُوا يَعُدُّونَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ مَا عَدَى كِتَابَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُفْهَمْ وَيُقْرَى, أو حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقرأ ويدرى, أو أمرا بمعروف أو نهيا بمعروف, أو أن تتكلم بمعيشتك وحاجتك التي لابد منها. Amazing, I'm just giving you an extract of it. He said that those before us would consider anything outside the absolute necessity to be, you know what, in vain and futile. Of course, speaking about the Quran was absolute, narrating the hadith was pure and wholesome, or then advocating virtue or prohibiting someone from evil, or speaking about your worldly things, which was key, important, and necessary. So in that regard, it was totally fine. And hence I often say, and we'll conclude on this note, in Islam, there's definite space and room and allowance for some moderate banter and humor and laughter. Right? Babu ma ja'a fi mizahi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But surely there is no place for exclusive, unending laughter. So moderate in a context which can relax you and rejuvenate you and inspire you and propel you and has a reflection and has a meaning to it. But just to sit and laugh away and just to kill time and just to make qahqaha, surely that is not in the teachings of Islam. So we'll conclude on that. May Allah make us from amongst those that are successful. The focus, the point to focus on, and the takeaway message today is how we can improve our prayer, become humble, focused, align in our prayer, and stay away from things that are futile. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.